You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very, very much for listening on this. On this Wednesday morning, we do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. Working on getting Congressman Moore here to connect, but we're having some struggles. Anyway, enough of that. He'll be with us here shortly. 251-343-0106. If you want to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning. Yeah, they're having problems up at the Capitol, it appears, this morning with their phone system. So we're working on it. Congressman, we got you now.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for bearing with us these technical snafus, but it seems to be working out just fine. Let's start out here. Supreme Court. That is obviously the hot topic, a lot of interest in that, and it looks like Roe v. Wade is going down and this stuff's going to be kicked back to the states. But just your reaction to that and the way it was leaked?
Yeah, you know, obviously it's concerning the way it was leaked, but I think it's important now as the American people. You know, we were talking about this last night in the House Freedom Caucus meeting. We need to be supporting these judges because what's happened is they've become targets now of basically the left and trying to undermine the process. And so we, as the American people, need to let them know we're standing with them, because I'm not seeing enough of the pro-life groups, but enough of the pro-life organizations, enough of the pro-life candidates and congressmen and members of Senate saying, hey, thank you for doing what we didn't have the courage to do. I mean, we were trying to defund Planned Parenthood. Many of us ran on that for years, taxpayer-funded, you know, abortions on demand in some places. And so for us to just say, we're going to just let the justices take the pressure, that's fine. They're strong people. I understand that. But at the same time, we as the American people, we need to let them know we support them, we appreciate them. And then this really gives the choice just back to the states. It keeps D.C. from hijacking the process. It puts it back in the states to make their decisions. And many of us who are pro-life don't appreciate not having the option to pass laws in the state of Alabama to protect this as a sanctity of life. And so that's my thoughts on it. Yeah, I'm concerned that it was leaked. It was planned. It's a process to undermine the judicial system and the way it works. And it just shows you that with this crowd on the left, the end justifies the means, no matter what that means. And so we want to make sure that we stand with the justices, let them know we've got their backs. We'll keep them in our prayers, and hopefully this thing will be overturned.
It's an interesting take because, yeah, I guess, you know, you've been a part of politics for a while, and every election cycle, it says, I'm the pro-life guy. I'm the pro-life candidate. I am pro-life. And now is the time to kind of give back, right? And I think a lot of politicians are, a lot of your colleagues are, but you think there's more that needs to be done.
Yeah, I think there's certainly right now the court of public opinion, because it can be a lonely spot sometimes. I mean, and these Supreme Court justices are people just like I am and just like your other members and just like you are. And so it's nice to know they don't mind being the tip of the spear, but it's nice to know that you've got some people standing behind you. And it's important for me and my job, and whether they believe it or not or understand it or not, it's important for them to know that we stand with them as the American people. And so, you know, let's educate. Let's celebrate, but let's stand with them and get this thing done, and let the judges know and the justices know that we're on their team and we appreciate their stance for life.
As far as security goes, and these protesters showing up at their houses, I mean, it seems to me there needs to be more done there, particularly if they're, and it's not clear to me what's going on, but there's potentially could be violating the law by showing up at these houses. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, we actually had, I don't know the section in code, but somebody quoted it yesterday and read it, and it's exactly right. These protesters are violating the law. And again, this administration turns a blind eye when it fits their narratives. And so whether it's the border, whether it's Supreme Court justice and their security, this administration only enforces the law and sometimes overboard when it's coming after conservative groups or policies they don't agree with. And when it goes the other way, they just turn a blind eye and let things go on like it's know, it's part of an everyday normal life to go to the Supreme Court justices' houses and try to terrify them or to intimidate them, and that's what's going on. And, you know, and obviously they're breaking the law, and I'd like to see them arrested for doing
it. Yeah, it's like you're not, if it were a jury trial, you're not allowed to go to the juror's house and protest. I mean, it's just there's a, we have to have a judicial process that has to be sacrosanct and not, it has to be immune to politics. But I noticed it's easier said than done, but that's kind of the idea, right?
Right, that's the idea, and they need to make an example of the leaker as well. I would make sure that I made an example of him. Of course, we get the majority in a few months. There's certain things we can do, but the administration, we have the laws on the book. We need law enforcement officers and leadership to enforce those laws and to set examples that we are actually a republic of laws and we enforce law.
Now, I know this is a political question, but you still, we talk about this every time you come on, but I want to go ahead and get this part and talk about this. You got to like where you are politically, even with this, and maybe the left gets mobilized somewhat, but Republicans still have to look and feel pretty good about November.
Yeah, I mean, so we're going to take the majority. I believe that. I think that the numbers, the polling numbers, the people are waking up. And nobody, it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, independent, Republican, you're not having fun at a gas pump right now. And if you're trying to buy groceries or get baby formula, you get it. I mean, you get what we talked about months ago. And we told them, and I've said it before, and in many ways, you feel like a prophet, but it was just common sense, which is not so very common up here. But we told them, if you spend money, if you spend trillions of dollars and trillions of dollars, you're going to trigger inflation in the economy, and that's exactly what happened. But if you send checks to mailboxes instead of to tax-free employers or employees, let people work tax-free, then you're going to create a labor market vacuum, and we've done that. And if you defund police, you're going to see a rise in crime. And if you don't enforce Title 42, which they're trying to repeal, but if you don't enforce the Remain in Mexico and Face the Wall, you're going to have issues with immigration, and we're going to have a flood on the southern border, and we've lost operational control down there. And so it's just things that we've told them is happening and is going to happen. If you follow this road, this pathwork and pathway, it's going to fail the American people. And ultimately, American people will vote in November to send a message that we do not like the direction of the country and we need a change in leadership.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore, the 2nd Congressional District, here on the program. Congressman, a big vote the other, I guess yesterday, this Ukrainian aid package, and you were a no vote. The rest of your colleagues in the delegation, the Alabama delegation, were for it. But kind of walk us through why you didn't think this was the right deal, $40 billion for Ukraine, and let us know where you stand on that.
Yeah, difficult, man. That's a difficult vote, Jeff, and it's principle for me. It's just like the National Defense Appropriation Act earlier in my career. I've only been here about 16 months, and last night, that was a difficult vote. The NDAA a few months earlier was very difficult because I have Maxwell Gunner and I have Fort Rucker. I'm the only veteran in the delegation. I get it's important that we support national defense and infrastructure. And I understand that, and I understand the needs. But at the same time, even the NDAA, where they wanted to draft our daughters, I had issues with that. Because when I ran, I told everybody it's faith, family, and then it's this process of being a member of Congress. And so when they violate certain principles, you have to stand. And for me, there were certain things in there I could not go along with on the NDAA. And fortunately for us, we got the red flag laws pulled out. You know, we got the drafting our daughter provision pulled out. Now, if your daughter wants to fight, that's fine. But don't draft our daughters because they can be moms. And they're the only ones that can be moms, no matter what the left tells you. Men cannot have babies. If we can define a woman, then we know that they can bear children, and we want the daughters to have the option to raise those children rather than draft them in the war. So that was my first. And honestly, the NDA kind of got cleaned up. They wanted us to trust it, but I wanted to say, no, let's see it in writing. Same thing yesterday, Jeff. We flew in yesterday. I had a long day. I land, I get here, and they're getting ready to call votes. And they dropped this $40 billion package on us with 60 minutes to read it, you know. And I'm an Auburn grad. I don't read that fast. And so how do you go and spend $40 billion in 60 minutes? And you know you can't trust leadership. We saw this with the $1.9 trillion COVID. Not a lot of that money never made it to where it was supposed to go. That's the issue I have with it, you know. And keep this in mind. This is the same crowd now that just they fought tooth and nail for Trump to get $3.5 billion to build a border on the southern build a wall on the southern border of the United States. Well, it's too expensive. This total yesterday brings us to $54 billion to defend the nation in Ukraine, which I visited, and I appreciate the people. But $54 billion total thus far, and we couldn't put $3.5 billion in a loss out to here, and they want us to trust them just to give them a blank check. I had a problem with that. And so, and for me, it was a tough vote, but there was not enough time to know. And as we talk about inflation, we talk about the issues that runaway spending is creating for the American people. It's American people first. And so we have to get a handle on this. If they want to do this sort of thing, we need to go through committee. We need to have hearings. We need to have our members have more than 60 minutes to spend $40 billion. And I get it. But your Democrats never waste a crisis. And they've said it from day one, never waste a good crisis. And they seize our liberty in the process. They seize our ability to make our choices in the process. And they seize the future generation's revenue streams in that process. And I refuse to go along.
Well, Congressman Tibby, I know that this may or may not have been in that $40 billion package, but what would be appropriate? What would be an appropriate aid package to Ukraine? Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Ukraine, and I don't know when it ever ends. I don't know what Russia's going to do. It's not clear to me the objective here is obviously to get Russia out, but is that a winnable objective? What is the best response from the U.S. for that situation?
Well, you know, I think the best response was U.S. energy policy. But we failed that test, that litmus, way months ago when we shut down the pipeline and gave Putin a green light on Nord Stream 2, because then he began producing this oil and selling it to these countries, and it funded a war machine for Vladimir Putin. That was the first fail. All of this could have been avoided if we hadn't had failed energy policy from the administration. Biden and his policies basically were this. I said it from day one. You shut down the Keystone Pipeline. You give Nord Stream 2 a green light for Russia. Then, of course, you ask OPEC to increase production to help drop prices to stave off some of your failed policies. And then you buy your solar panels from China. And what's happened is these energy policies then embolden Putin. So the first thing we need to do is shut down and his ability to make war and to sell oil to make war and to start producing U.S. domestic energy and become energy independent, and then let those people in the region get their energy from us instead of from their enemy. That would be a good start, but we could have avoided some of that early on. And then I think you have to look at a week to week. I mean, I think Putin expected this thing to go down in 4 or 5 days. He didn't have a lot of supplies, and the supply chain ran out because the Ukrainian people are willing to fight. And I met those people in August of last year. And I'm going to tell you, there's some tough, tough people. And I met their weekend warriors, as we call them, a lot of their reservists. And they were as tough as many Navy SEALs I've ever seen. So these guys they're another level of soldier. But at the same time, I think you have to provide them energy and arms. We knew this was happening. We were slow to get it there. We have to make sure that we get them maybe what they need. But just a blank check with 40 billion in 60 minutes, that's just a little bit too much too fast, and it does not allow us to manage the process. And Democrats are famous for this, and you know this.
Right.
They throw money at problems on emotion, and it's very rarely has much oversight, and it's usually some slush fund, some deal that we should have never done, and we look back on it and go, my goodness, why don't we do that? So I think it's a process to go through committee and look these things over rather than just cut a check.
It seems that way almost every time here in the last 10 years, 20 years or so. But my last question, Congressman, Joe Biden came to your district last week there at the Lockheed Martin facility near Troy. Just kind of your reaction to that. You kind of indicated, well, you're coming here, but you still haven't been to the border. Rare occasion to get a president in your congressional district, but Joe Biden was here, and I don't know. We're kind of. It didn't seem like it was quite had the fanfare that it typically has when you have a president come. But it did happen.
Yeah, he came down to see where the Javelin missiles were made there in Troy. And, you know, that's a great anti-tank weapon. I've toured that facility. I've been to the border twice. I've been to Ukraine, and so you know, I understand that process. But I think that this for him was just a parade. I mean, just a diversion. I mean, you go here and celebrate these American people who are doing their job and been doing their job, and I'm proud to have them in our district. You know, rather than going down and addressing the issues, whether it's inflation, whether it's energy production or the border, this, Jeff, you know what, with this administration, it appears to me that we have a historic event about every 60 to 30 days. Think about that. I mean, usually you have those about every 30 years. With this crowd, it's a record level inflation, record level gas prices, record level, border crossings. You have a disaster in Afghanistan. You have a vaccine mandate, and then you've got Ukraine. these are decade type events every 30 years. And with this crowd, it's about every 30 to 60 days. So this was just a diversion to take the American people's mind off of how horrible this leadership and this administration is doing and what they're doing to the American people.
Congressman, you're always kind to make time for us, and we'll talk again soon, but stay safe up that way, and we appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate you having us on.
Thanks for making time for us. That was Congressman Barry Moore of the 2nd Congressional District. We got to get a quick break in here. We shall return. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 1065.
Couple guys in first class on a flight from New York to Los Angeles, kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.